in a series on revival. And somebody says, why is so much emphasis on revival? Well, you're in the Scranton Revival Baptist Church. Our name is on the sign there. We don't want to have a name to live and not have what our name is all about. And thank God for revival, amen. Thank God for eternal life. Thank God for the new birth and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, our salvation. And we praise the Lord for anybody that gets saved. And yet we are promoting and praying for and teaching on not just the teaching, but we want to experience revival. And somebody has said, revival is re-Bible. Amen. I believe this is the inspired, preserved, every word Bible. And it is the King James Bible. And it is so important that you have the right Bible, and that that Bible then is being written upon our hearts. And we thank God for when anybody gets saved. We thank God for new members of the church. We thank God for His working in people's lives. But the Bible says, don't despise the day of small things. Zechariah says, don't despise the day of small things. And we don't. We thank God for it. And we can praise the Lord for even when we don't see a lot of fruit and don't see a lot of things happen, we can praise Him. But the Bible says we are to pray for great and mighty things. Jeremiah 33:3, I love that verse. Call upon me, God says, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And we've been studying in the book of Ephesians and chapter 3. And at the end of chapter 3, he says, now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. And so we have been talking about this thing called revival. And revival is a supernormal work of God to take a subnormal church and bring us back to normal New Testament power and practice. And the early church was started by the Lord Jesus Christ. He began to build the church and was founded on the apostles, but they were not baptized by the Spirit into union with Christ until the day of Pentecost. And that began the spiritual union of the church at Jerusalem. And the Bible says that at the same time that the church was baptized into Christ by the Spirit, that the church was baptized with the Holy Spirit by the Lord Jesus Christ unto soul winning power and the ability to bring in a harvest of souls. And so we are to seek that. Jesus said, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. Whenever you see a revival, you see people that are in love with the Lord and they can't stop talking about the Lord. They can't stop sharing the Lord. And you see people just getting under conviction and people being saved out of their dead religion and things happening. And usually when that happens, and we've been looking at this when we look at the book of Acts and we look at this teaching on revival, and I'm going to ask one of the men to tell me, because we're doing teaching tonight, whenever there's a move of the unholy Spirit of God, we see something happen. One of the men tell me, what is it that we can see as part of revival?
Persecution.
Always going to see persecution. You wonder why Charlie Kirk got killed, why his blood flowed. He was filled with the Holy Ghost. I believe that. When a person gets filled with the Holy Ghost, he gets opposed, and you don't want to have any trouble in your life from the devil. Well, don't get filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be moving forward with God. The devil won't bother you. He knows you're backslidden. He knows your flesh has got you. He knows that you're basically a carnal type, Corinthian type, baby thumb-sucking Christian, and that doesn't give him trouble. You see, We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and revival comes after persecution. And that's what brings on the persecution. Why was the Apostle Paul spending so much time in jail? He was giving the devil trouble. Why did he suffer so much? He was giving the devil trouble. You see, you have three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world around you wants you to conform to its way of thinking, its way of doing things. But God wants you transformed by the renewing of your mind with the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, writing the Word of God on your heart. And then you confront the world when you're like that. You don't think like the world, talk like the world, walk like the world. The world doesn't like that. They don't like that. They don't mind if you have some great things that they can do, but they don't want to see Jesus in a person because they can't explain that. They can't understand that. They try to get rid of that. And so the world will attack that, and persecution comes because of the world. And then your own flesh wants you to please your flesh. And when you live your life to please your flesh, you're not giving the devil any trouble. But when you get filled with the Spirit and you yield to God and you surrender to Him, you go out and you confront the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you're giving the devil problems and he will attack you. That's why it says in James 4, submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If you submit yourself to God, to walk with God, to serve God, you're going to have to resist the devil. Why? Because he's going to be on you like white on rice. He's going to attack you. And I really believe it's sad that there are so few churches today that are experiencing opposition from Satan, because so few churches have revival going on in their midst. And so we've been talking about that. We said persecution, and the Apostle Paul, if you look at chapter 3 of Ephesians, that's our teaching on revival. He says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. He's saying, I'm a prisoner. He said in verse number 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, I'm going through tribulations, I'm going through pressure and problems because I'm a Spirit-filled, revived apostle. I'm getting the Word of God out, and I'm being attacked, he said, but don't faint at that. That's for your glory. So we said in the book of Acts, you have a first pouring out of the Holy Spirit and the first filling of the Holy Spirit for soul winning power in Acts chapter 2. And that then brought about, that then is brought about by the P's. First of all, we said that brought about persecution. And then there is a second P that comes out of persecution. What P is that? One of the men helped me with it. Brother Matt again. Prayer. And once you go through persecution, you see the apostle, he is praying. And I really believe that all of our problems are prayer failures. Our failures are prayer failures. Because you see, many times you tolerate being low in grace. You tolerate being low in grace. And God says that you can have great grace and you can have great power. Great grace is the ability to live the Christian life in a God-honoring way. And great power is the ability to tell others about the Christian life in a way that will be effective and win others to Christ. But too many Christians, they settle for being low in grace. If you can have great grace and great power, like it says in the book of Acts they had, then you can be low in grace. You see, the Apostle Paul prayed for his converts and taught them how to have great grace, how to have revival, and that's what we're looking at in Ephesians chapter 3. And when he went through that persecution, he knew Satan wanted to stop revival. I preached at Tunkhannock when Charlie Kirk got shot, and I was up there about 300 or 400 people up there gathered in the courthouse, and I said, do not let the blood of Charlie Kirk be shed in vain. Do not let Satan have a victory over that, because we see in the book of Acts, my friends, when Stephen, the deacon, was preaching the word of God and witnessing and getting people saved, the devil came after him and got him martyred. What happened as a result of that? Well, first of all, his fellow deacon, a guy named Philip, he became Philip the what? The evangelist. Philip got on fire and he went up to Samaria, led the whole city to the Lord. They had revival and an awakening up there in Samaria. And God blessed. Then we see in the book of Acts, when Stephen got killed, the Bible said the apostles stayed back in Jerusalem, but the church went everywhere preaching the word. And word preaching there means they were gossiping. They were telling people about Jesus. And then the last thing, the greatest thing, was the greatest soul winner of all time, probably, the Apostle Paul, got convicted by Stephen's martyrdom, and he became the great Paul, went from Saul of Tarsus, the Pharisee, to Paul, and got on fire for Almighty God. And so we need prayer for great grace and great power. Thank God for small things, but don't stay there. Call upon God. That's why we have a Revival Seekers prayer meeting. That's why I'm preaching on revival. Why? We need to stir up one another for revival. And there's room for Revival Seekers prayer meeting. And you say, well, Pastor, what are you talking about? You're talking about revelatory sign gifts. You're talking about casting out demons. You're talking about speaking in tongues and interpreting tongues and all that. No, I'm not talking about revelatory sign gifts. I'm talking about more of the normal work of the Spirit of God. A lot more of it. More of that. And I say tonight, shame on you. Shame on the church if we don't seek a great move of the Spirit of God. It glorifies the Lord. And so tonight, that's what we're looking at, revival. Persecution leads to prayer for the power of the Holy Spirit. And that leads to a pouring out of that power. Amen. And you shall receive power, Jesus. That leads to the pouring out of the power of the Holy Spirit. That leads to proclaiming the gospel in the Bible. And that leads to people getting saved, which is more persecution. But what we've been talking about, and this will be the third week, between prayer for revival, the pouring out of the power of God, and the actual pouring out of the power of God and proclaiming the gospel in that power, there's another P. And we don't talk about it normally when I go through P's, but we've been preaching on it. One of the men know what that P is that we've been preaching on between praying for power and the pouring out, and what you need and what I need.
Preparation.
Preparation. You know, we had our pipes at our house. The water was turned off because Kyle is preparing for his wife. He's doing plumbing work over there in his apartment. And so he's turning off the water. I think we got to get a shut off in there. So women are giving me trouble. He's turning off the water again. But anyway, you know, before the water's turned on, when you turn the water off, you got to make sure there are no clogs in your pipes and there are no leaks in the pipes where the water's going to go all over. I made sure when the water was off, I had all the water turned on in case pipes froze. But I'm just saying, you got to make sure that your pipes are prepared. And we've been looking at Ephesians chapter 3 and looking at this matter of the preparation of your pipes, so that if God would bless us with revival, we can handle it. You know, you ever had a Sunday? I've had it where we had so many people coming forward, I don't have any soul winners up here to lead these people to the Lord. And I'm like, who am I going to get? I got all these people. God's blessing. And then how about baptistry robes? You know, how would you like it if we had to baptize 3,000 in a day? How would we do with that? Good problem to have. But are you prepared for it? I remember when we got into this church, I was prepared for baptism. We didn't even have a baptistry, and I was trying to figure that out, prepare to have a baptistry. I'm just saying, we pray for things, but if we really believe God, then we'll prepare for the blessing. If we're just giving lip service to our faith, no, we won't prepare. But you read Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, and what does it say? Noah moved with fear, prepared an ark, and the elders obtained a good report. In other words, everything is action. If you have real faith, you will prepare for the blessing that you're praying for. And so we've been talking about that in this matter of preparation of revival, and we've been looking at that, and we want to talk a little bit about that. In the first sermon on preparation for the pouring out of the revival grace, we introduced that by talking about preparing the pipes of the plumber, and then last week in our second sermon on preparation for the pouring out of revival, we preached on preparation from the source of it. So look at last week again. Go to Ephesians 3 and verse number 14 through 16. And I'm going to read that, and then I'm going to spray my pipes down. All right, it says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Verse 16, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man." Now, this is talking about preparing you for revival. I'm talking about preparing your inner life for revival. I'm talking about preparing your inner pipes, as it were, for revival. And he's praying for them to be prepared for that revival, and so he's talking about that. Now, we said when we pray, we are to pray to whom, through whom, and by whom. One of the men tell me, we are to pray to whom, through whom, and by whom, if you have a biblical prayer. Go ahead, Kyle.
We're supposed to pray to the Father, through the Son, in the Holy Spirit.
All right, exactly right. We're to pray to the Father, through the Son, by means of the Holy Spirit. Brother Joe, you want to have a good reason for God to bless you? Plead the blood of Jesus. Plead the righteousness of Jesus. Plead the fact that you are in Him and united to Him, and you come in His name, you come by His authority, you come by His merit, and you come to the Father, because the Father gets things done. Amen. You want to get things done, give it to a busy man. He'll get it done. And God is not God the mother, He's God the Father. Amen. And He gets things done. He moves things. And you pray to the Father, and you pray through the Son. Why? Because God is moved by the name of His Son. He's moved by the name of Jesus. He's not moved by you and I. He's not moved by you and I. We come in our own name. No, we're going to get nothing. But we don't come in our own name. I don't need that. I need this. Thank you. We come in the name of Jesus Christ, and by means of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul is saying. I want revival. I want great grace. I want great power. Do you? Do you? You'll get what you want. If you don't want it, you'll get it. Why? What are you talking about? Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and seeketh findeth, and him that knocketh it shall be opened. And it means you keep on knocking and knocking and knocking. Keep on asking and asking and asking. Keep on seeking and seeking and seeking. I say there's a problem in many churches, and sadly in many independent fundamental Baptist churches, and that you're weak on your seek when it comes to God's grace. Oh, we can have more. We can have more. And anything that Anything that dulls your appetite, get away from it. Anything that dulls your thirst, get away from it. I know some people, you hang around the wrong crowd, you hang around the wrong people, and they bring you down. We need more of the church meetings. Forsake not the assembly of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. All the more, as you see the day approaching, we need spirit-filled prayer meetings. We need spirit-filled preaching. We need the power and the blessing of Almighty God, and we need believers that are filled with the Holy Spirit, that their very lives challenge us to live for God. Boy, that's what you ought to be doing. Some Christians, they don't challenge me at all. The only way they challenge me is, get off your duff. You make me sick. You make me sick. Jesus said it. He said, I'll spew you out of my mouth. You're lukewarm. We live in a Laodicean age, and if we're not careful, we'll get caught up with that kind of thing, and we do not need that. And so the Apostle Paul is talking about praying now and the preparation, and he says here, this is not the pouring out of revival. He says that he would grant you, verse 16, chapter 3, according to the riches of his glory, speaking of the Father, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That strengthening with might by the Holy Spirit in your inner man is an answer to prayer, not the pouring out of the power of the Holy Spirit. That's not revival. Remember I said these are steps and stages to revival. And it's like climbing a mountain. You come to one level of height and you can see a little bit more, and you're just getting out of the fog at the next level, and then the next level you're above the fog. Next level you can see way off the and then you come to the summit. That's what this whole prayer for revival is. It's a step and stage preparation for the pouring out of the Holy Spirit in revival. And I believe that's where we are right now as a church. We're in a preparation stage. And we're seeing if it's going to fail, because Paul said, I bow my knees and I pray. Thank God we prayed for President Trump to get in. He did, and we're getting things done. That's an answer to prayer. We could see more done. But we need to pray for revival and get it. And so that is what he's saying there, is the Spirit of God, listen, has to do a work in you so that your inner life, your inner heart can be prepared for revival. And the person that does that is the Holy Spirit. And we looked last week at Ephesians 2 and also chapter 2, verse 1 and verse 5. It says, and you hath he quickened, that's made alive when your spirit was dead, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us, that's made us alive, together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Hey, if he touched you when you were dead, if he saved Saul of Tarsus when he was dead, how much more now you're alive can he revive you? The same Holy Spirit that's responsible for regeneration, which irresistibly drew you to faith in Christ so you could be a born-again Christian, that same Holy Spirit, you see, can give a church revival, can give a believer revival. I remember when Charles Ware said to me, Bloom, revival is here. I'm like, where? I don't see it. But see, God was working in his heart. And that's what we need around here. A believer or some believers that get on fire. You want to start a fire, what do? I've started many coal furnace fires, and I always started with paper and then went to light kindling wood. No, cardboard. I usually go from paper to cardboard if I really want to do it. Paper to cardboard to light kindling wood and then to more wood. And then when that gets going, then you can throw some coal on, and that coal will take, and that coal is great burning stuff. We need that kind of revival. Are you willing to be kindling wood for Jesus? Are you willing to pray for the fire of God in revival to fall? I'm just talking about the fire that'll cleanse your life out and get you right with God and help you to stay right with God. But he says here where the power comes from. We talked about it last week, and it says in Ephesians chapter 1, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he, that's God the Father, wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. How did he do that? By means of the Holy Ghost, and set him, Jesus Christ, at his own right hand in heavenly places. And we said last week that Romans 8, 10, and 11 says that your dead body, as a believer, your body is not yet saved, right? Your body's dying. That's why we get sick when these bioweapons hit us, amen? We have mortal bodies, they're dying by. But when the Holy Spirit does his work, this body will not be able to get sick again. Will not be able to sin again. Will not be weak again. My friend, in a moment, a twinkling of an eye, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15, that our bodies are going to be changed. How? By the Holy Spirit that is in you, that raised Christ from the dead. And so there is a tremendous power of God that we have that will help prepare your inner life for revival. So we said last week, revival comes after the preparation for it. Number one, from the source of it. Who is the source of the preparation? I just said it. Who's the source of the preparation of your heart so that you can handle revival? Who is that? Who is the source of it? One of the men tell me. One of the men tell me. Who's the source of it? Bobby?
Jesus.
We're going to preach about him tonight. Who is it?
The Holy Spirit.
It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Ghost. That's where the power comes from. Not from you, not from me. It comes through Jesus, from the Father, but it's the Holy Spirit who indwells every believer tonight that provides the power. And last I checked out, he is divine. His power is unlimited. It's unequaled. It is peerless. It is the power of God, my friend. And you can't buy it with money. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that we can have revival. But you must hunger for it. You must thirst for it. My friend, you must pray for it. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Or do you hunger and thirst after food all the time? That's all you think about. We know when prayer and fasting, where is it today? The early church was in the upper room agonizing with prayer and fasting. The 21st century church is in the supper room organizing and trying to fill their... You do well not to eat a day. You do well to get hungry and to get thirsty for righteousness. My, oh my, God help us when we don't do that. We need to repent when we're doing other things and engaged in other things so we just don't even need revival because we got so much going on in this Laodicean age. I mean, we got this going on, don't we? Yeah! Yeah! Break that thing and jump on it. I'm just saying, Charlie Kirk, he'd come home on a Friday and take that thing and turn it off and wouldn't turn it back on till Sunday after church. I'm just saying, not only is it from the source of the Holy Ghost, but revival comes by the Savior of it. And I want to just end with verse 17 tonight. Go to Ephesians 3:17, and I'm actually going to preach a whole message on this, but I'm going to end right now. In other words, I just got through the introduction tonight. That's all I did. I didn't even get to the sermon. But verse 17 says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. 3:17a. I submit to you that in many believers, Christ does not dwell in your hearts by faith in the way that he's proposing that he dwell there, and that Christ promises that he dwells there. That is not revival, but it is a preparation for revival. That is not full revival, but it is a next stage beyond the stage of the Holy Spirit that we're talking about tonight. That is a next stage. And next week I want to talk to you more about that, but I want you to think about that and how the Holy Spirit can make room for Jesus. There's room in my heart for Jesus. Is there in your heart tonight? Is there room in your heart? Let me just say this in closing tonight. I was at Walmart last night after coming here and eating that delicious chicken sandwich you made. By the way, that was good. What's that? Dave, what's chicken?
Dave's hot chicken.
Dave's hot chicken. He's now making sandwiches like Dave does. And I had one, and I'd been to Golden Corral earlier, so I went to Walmart, and as I was at Walmart, I was there to do soul winning. But I found out I needed to do something before I went soul winning. You know what it was? I just walked around Walmart singing hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. People look at me. Look at that guy. I was walking around with my basket, putting food in it and stuff, singing. And when I did that, it made room for Jesus. You know, the Bible says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Say, who were you singing to? I was singing to the Lord. And as I was doing that, you know, God was working in my heart, and it was a blessing that was the influence of the Holy Ghost. You know, I find out people that went to deepest, darkest Africa before missionaries came there with the gospel, and they heard the jungle music and the demon worship and the mutilation of the body that many of these people did because of paganism and the influence of devils. And these same people that were saved out of that in deep Africa, they came to America years ago. This was in the 60s and 70s. And they said, do you know what you're introducing into your churches? The same music that we had when we were pagans in Africa. And you call it praise music. And it's nothing but rock junk. And, you know, when you look at music, it can be that which encourages the influence of the Holy Spirit, or it can encourage the influence of the unholy spirit. And listen to this. David, it says, when he played his music, it said, and it came to pass when the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand. So Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. You see, when David played with his music, it made the evil spirit uncomfortable. I used to, when I came to this church, I had some rebels that got into the music ministry, and I would literally have to overcome their junk before I preached until we cleaned out the music ministry with God's help. Now when I'm up here and the choir sings, I'm ready to preach. Why? It's the kind of music that makes the Holy Spirit respond, and the unholy spirit's not comfortable. You see these album covers of these devils that sing, and they're under the influence of Satan, and they have the music that encourages darkness. Is Christ at home in your music, in your house, in your churches, in your personal walk? That's what we need. We need the Holy Spirit to be at home. And if the Holy Spirit is at home, He will make a place for Jesus to be at home. I want a home where Jesus is at home in my home. Is He at home in your inner life with your cell phone, with your TV, with whatever? Is He at home? You see, preparation for revival from the source of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit's at work in your heart, listen to me and listen to me well, and I'll end tonight. He will do it by the Savior. He will make it so the Savior is dwelling at home. That's what dwell means, to settle down and be at home in your inner life. And we'll talk more about that. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I wonder, Brother Zukowski was praying, not just praying.